Work shouldn't feel like a drag, and you shouldn't have to sacrifice your soul for a job you love. Determined to rethink the future of work, she's out of her depth on purpose. With fresh ideas, interviews, and stories from her life on the road, meet Europe's newest digital nomad, Blair Palmer.
Hello, and welcome to episode 72 of A Brilliant Gamble. I hope you are really well. I'm recording this from the kitchen of our Airbnb in Yorkshire in England. We're up here for a couple of weeks. I had some work last week speaking at a conference, and so we thought we would make a little bit of an adventure out of it. Come here with the dogs, with Ivy, settle in for a couple of weeks, get to know the area a bit as part of our travels. But those of you who have wait for this podcast with bated breath, those of you with eagle eyes will know that there was no podcast last week. The last week or so have been tougher than usual. Now, we love it here. This is a beautiful part of the country. We spent the day yesterday in York exploring that ancient city. And today we're going fossil hunting. So this area is beautiful. But I can't lie to you, the last week has been quite tough emotionally and from a work perspective. And there's a few reasons for that. Firstly, relocating to another country. We do this every few weeks and it is quite tricky. There's the packing up, so you lose a couple of days packing up when you leave one house. While you're driving, while you're traveling, it's very difficult, particularly in an old VW, to get any work done. So really you can write those days off, which is lovely in one way because, you know, there's no way that you can work. On the other hand, it's a bit stressful because there's stuff that you want to do and stuff that needs to get done, like a podcast. And then when you arrive in a new place, you have to get settled. And what we discovered when we arrived in this place is that there was really no Wi-Fi to speak of, no decent phone signal. And we're also having some trouble with the van. So the van had been at the mechanics for a day or two, and one problem was fixed, quite an expensive problem actually with the brakes. But as we were driving up here, we noticed a new noise and we're starting to worry that that Lady Luck is not going to make it for this whole year. She may not even make it to Croatia. So it's been very difficult to function, and particularly to function as a business. And the worst thing about that, you know, we're quite adaptable as a family. The dogs are adaptable, Ivy's adaptable, I'm pretty adaptable. But the worst thing about all of this is when you let clients down. When I set out on this adventure, I was committed to one thing, which was that none of my clients should receive a lesser service because of my decision. There are lots of reasons that I'm on this adventure, and I've talked to you about them before. They are personal, they're about me having a different kind of life, a different experience of life for Ivy, us spending more time together, us exploring the world, learning from the world, and me pushing out the edges of my comfort zone a little bit, quite a lot, in fact. But they're also business related. It's about experimenting with remote working and being a digital nomad. It's about seeing whether we can break this 9-to-5 by experiencing it myself. And I'm hoping the intention of that is to enhance the service that I can provide to clients. So the last thing that I want to do is to compromise the service that I'm providing to the clients that I have today. In addition, I believe deeply that the customer or the client should be at the heart of every business. Yes, we run our businesses to make money. Yes, we run our businesses to make a living. And we run them because they give us freedom or the money to buy stuff or the opportunities to travel. Whatever it is, whatever the lifestyle values are that are important to us, our work often provides those. And yes, we run our businesses because they're fun and we like the work that we do. And by the way, this will apply even if you don't run a business, if you work in a business. That business exists in part to make money and to pay the salaries of people like you. And you do that work in part because you need to make a living. And you do it because it gives you some freedoms or some rewards of some kind that make it worth it beyond the money. And you do that work because it's fun and you like doing it and you're good at it. But ultimately, I believe that the business isn't really there to serve its owner or even to serve the people that work for it. It's there to serve the customer. And that's why having to cancel client sessions over this last week because I couldn't guarantee that I would be able to hold on to a Wi-Fi signal for the duration of the call is so frustrating. Having phone calls drop out and it being a real struggle to listen because, you know, there's a delay on the line or because the person keeps dropping in and out or they can't hear me clearly has been really, really tough. And simply not being as responsive as I like to be, as thoughtful about my clients because I'm distracted by what's going on with the van, wandering around the garden trying to find this elusive Wi-Fi signal. All of that is really distracting and it stops me being able to sit and reflect and think about clients and what they want and what they need and then being able to respond to that. So this week has been quite stressful and it's been tough on me and probably on Ivy. This focus on customers, something I talk about to audiences and to clients all the time, so it's ironic that I'm having such a problem with it right now. Trust in business is at an all-time low, due in large part to self-serving behaviours by business people. Fat cat salaries, underhanded or slightly underhanded dealings, the focus on profit and growth rather than purpose and people. Companies often pretend to care about the customer, about their higher purpose, but when they're under pressure, we know that they don't really care about the customer because they compromise on that in order to make or save a few bucks in order to keep their share price high, whatever it might be. And that undermines trust even more. In fact, I think it would be better if businesses that did feel that way were at least honest about it and said profit is our number one priority and customers come second or third. I think that would be better for levels of trust in our society. But this spiraling of trust, the spiraling of distrust, in fact, is serious. A society where we don't know who to trust is inevitably dysfunctional, and it drives behaviour like the behaviour we saw in America with people voting for Trump. That wasn't all to do with distrust, but a large proportion of people who voted for Trump described themselves as fearful, much larger percentage than those that voted for Hillary Clinton. So fear of what's out there, not being able to trust that you are safe, is a big motivator in it. It motivates people's decisions. And a dysfunctional world where people don't know who to trust isn't the kind of world that most of us want to live in. So what's our responsibility in that? I think it's to be people who can be trusted and be people who are willing to trust. And maybe as individuals, when we think that that's important, we do something about it. It's just a drop in the ocean of a much, much bigger global issue. But maybe it isn't. This week, I spoke at a head teachers conference, in part about trust and in part about putting customers, in their case, kids, at the heart of everything they do, knowing in my mind that I had let some clients down. It was uncomfortable. But also on the bill was Richard McCann. Richard McCann is the son of the first victim of the notorious Yorkshire Ripper. And if you get the opportunity to see him speak, I highly recommend it. It was a wonderful presentation that he gave. He took us on an emotional roller coaster, and he's a fascinating and inspirational guy. His life could have turned out very badly. He was brought up in poverty. He lost his mum in gruesome circumstances, aged 5. He was then raised by his violent father. And those experiences followed him around for many, many years of his life until he was able to turn things around. Today he inspires kids and adults, talking about his experiences and how he changed his life and how he got away from the circumstances of his childhood. And it just goes to show what a massive difference one person can make. You know, when you have your work hours, you have your 9 to 5, you can convince yourself that you served your clients for 8 hours, and you can go home feeling quite good about that. Whether it's true or not isn't often the question that's asked, because you did the hours that you were required to do. You ploughed through the work. You did the stuff that was at the top of your to-do list. And surely that's what working is all about. That's why you got paid for doing the work. But when you break with that system and you forget about working hours, there's only one way to know whether you did a good job. Did you deliver what you promised to deliver to clients and customers? Did you deliver on your purpose? And to do that, you don't always have to do 8 or 10 hours of work a day. You may only send one email or make one call or one decision that day. But that decision or that call or that email was driven by your purpose and it made something better for your customer. Now, I don't know how many hours a day Richard McCann works, but he really only needed to work for 1 hour that day that I saw him speak to make a massive, massive difference. And I hope he went home and had a lovely, relaxing evening because he deserved it. That 1 hour, in that 1 hour, he delivered on his purpose more than. However, if you're going to measure success this way, you've actually got to be able to do that. You can't not do the hours and not put your customer at the heart of your work, at the heart of your business. And as I look ahead to the rest of the year of adventure, I have some important decisions to make to ensure that I keep focused on my clients. How I live my life, how we all live our lives, in fact, is integral to how we serve our clients. And when we blur the edges of the distinction between work and life, that's even more true. So we're changing our plans a little to make working as we travel easier and enable me to have the time and the facilities and the comfort to serve those clients even when we're on the move, of which more in the next week or two. Quite exciting, but I'm going to leave you on the edge of your seat and tell you more about that. But I promise you we're not cancelling the year. We're still travelling, we're still going, we're just going to change the way we do it a little bit. We also won't move about quite so frequently so that I can guarantee to clients that I will be available when I say I am. When you arrive at a new location, it does take a couple of days to get the lay of the land. And if you schedule a client on the day of arrival, which I did once and learnt from that, or even the next day, which is what happened this time, it's quite dangerous. Technology has not caught up with the needs of today's remote workers, even in the UK, where we are at the moment. And that means that good Wi-Fi and good phone signal still can't be guaranteed. And these are the lifeblood of most businesses today, particularly small ones. They're essential to remote or nomadic workers. So on the practical side, I need to make sure I know where the tech is, that the tech is going to be there, or that I have an alternative, like a co-working space to work from. So how we organise our travel, how frequently we move is going to be impacted by the horrible, disappointing feelings that I've had this week. But of course, as always, there are practical solutions and mindset and more personal solutions to problems. Putting clients first is a really easy thing to say. But if you really mean it, then it does hurt when you know you haven't done it. And the easiest thing to do is to keep emotions out of your business. People do it all the time. Or to focus your emotions on colleagues, on tensions with colleagues, on friendships at work, on building bonds, on creating teams that can work well together. That's what most people want to talk about when they talk about how their work is going, is the relationships they're having within their organisation. But if we really go beyond that and take responsibility for the purpose of our business and serving clients as the primary motivation for everything we do, then what will keep us up at night isn't some argument with Shirley in finance or whether Bob on the LT gave us the credit for that brilliant PowerPoint we did last week. What will keep us up is whether we kept our promises to our clients. Now, I'm not going to advocate sleepless nights, of course, and I'm not going to advocate beating yourself up either, even though I've done a bit of both this week. But coming face to face with what it means to not be able to serve my clients properly has really been a sobering lesson, and one which will determine many decisions over the next few months. As you head off to work today, I hope that you'll do what it takes to put your customers first. Not at the expense of your own well-being, but as part of your own well-being, as part of your sense of integration as a whole human being. the integration between you and your work and the rest of your life, as part of why you do what you do and why you've made the choices you've made. And as I head off to my co-working space today, where I'm going to be working most of this week, with its powerful Wi-Fi and its private office space and phone signal, that's what's going to be on my mind too. Please stay in touch with us. We love hearing from you. We love the support and the encouragement and the feedback. And we love when you ask questions. And if anyone would like to know more about Digital Nomad working or living, or how to take a brilliant gamble of their own, if you go to our website at www.abrilliantgamble.com, you can sign up for the free Gamble Guide, a three-part series that gives you a few clues as to how to get started. That's it for this week. I will be back next week with any luck. I don't want to make that promise just in case something terrible happens. But the plan is to be back next week and to continue to provide you with a podcast every single week. So until then, have a great week. Take care of yourself and your clients.
Hear from you. You can get all the episodes of this show, plus read the blog and find out more about our travel adventure at www.brilliantgamble.com. Sign up to the newsletter and get an advance notice of the classes and programs Mummy is running. Plus, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Brilliant Gamble. Finally, please leave a review and star rating for this podcast on iTunes, as it helps people find us and take a brilliant gamble of their own.